This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, August 13th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. What time is it on the moon? It may seem like a straightforward question, but it's actually tricky to figure out and super important in the race to get humans back to the lunar surface. And then, efforts by Washington to ban Chinese-made drones are meeting resistance from police departments, rescue workers, and others. They argue drones from U.S. competitors just aren't as good as drones made by Chinese company DJI. We'll tell you about the fight. But first, if you placed a clock on the Earth and the Moon and started them at exactly the same time, after 24 Earth hours, the clock on the Moon would be at least 56 microseconds ahead, because time is affected by gravity, and no matter where you are in the cosmos, navigation depends on precise timekeeping. NASA has been called on to establish a lunar timescale to make missions safer as space gets more crowded. Here to tell us more is our reporter Aylin Woodward. So Aylin, just how big a deal is it in lunar navigation to have your timing off by something like 56 microseconds?
So I want to bring us back to the idea of GPS systems on Earth. They use precise timekeeping to figure out where you are and when you're going to get to where you want to go. And a difference of just one microsecond can result in an error of more than a mile in the estimated position of an object using GPS. Part of the impetus for this call to action to establish a coordinated lunar time is that cislunar space, so that vastness of space between Earth and the moon, including the moon's surface, it's going to get more crowded. All the activity in NASA's estimation within the next decade is going to equal or exceed all of the activity preceding this time period in this cislunar space. So establishing basic infrastructure like timekeeping is imperative to safeguard missions.
So Aylin, I said this before, but time is affected by gravity. Can you tell us why and what that means for sticking a clock on the moon?
Scientists already know how time passes differently in different parts of space, thanks to Albert Einstein. So Einstein's theory of relativity has a couple of parts. And basically, general relativity is this notion of how gravity affects space and time. And general relativity says basically time moves faster the less gravity there is. So with regards to the moon, is more than 200,000 miles away from the strongest part of Earth's gravitational pull. So there's less gravity there. So time ticks it differently. And then there's also this wrench in the mix of something called special relativity that sort of stipulates that the faster an object is moving relative to the Earth, the slower time passes aboard that object.
So what steps are space agencies like NASA taking to establish accurate timekeeping on the moon?
The most precise timekeeping on Earth is undergirded by atomic clocks. So these clocks are based on the vibrations of atoms, and they want to, at least the folks that I spoke with at NASA and the European Space Agency, one of the first steps to sort of attempting to establish this coordinated lunar time is sending atomic clocks up there, whether that's through maybe the future Artemis missions or incorporating these into missions from NASA that eventually may take astronauts down to the surface. The European Space Agency has their own lander mission scheduled for roughly 7 years from now that may incorporate one of these devices, some of these devices. That's really going to be a first key step here.
So tell us a little bit more about the why now part of this. I mean, why is the White House asking NASA to figure this out at this moment?
Well, part of the reason is that it needs to be a coordinated lunar timescale. It needs to be something that all spacefaring nations and agencies can agree upon. Because if they don't agree on a standard, you haven't solved the problem at all. And of course, anything with regards to space has geopolitical ramifications. There is a space race happening. The US and China and Russia and other nations are all trying to grow and develop their lunar operations. And so part of the challenge here is going to be to get all of these different entities, maybe with competing interests, to agree on the same standard. And that's going to take time.
That was our reporter, Aylin Woodward. Coming up, the U.S. isn't ready to wean itself off Chinese drones. We'll tell you why. That's after the break.
Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
Drones made by Shenzhen-based DJI account for around 70 to 90% of the American commercial, local government, and hobbyist drone market. But Congress sees the company as a national security risk and wants them outlawed. The U.S. government has already placed tariffs on the drones and largely prohibited federal agencies from using DJIs. But bills from the House and Senate take that further. A bill that passed the House prohibits new models of DJI drones from receiving the license necessary to fly on American communication networks, and the Senate has introduced its version of a Chinese drone ban, which also covers another Chinese drone maker. Here to tell us more is our reporter Heather Somerville. Heather, who in the U.S. is using DJI drones, and what are they used for?
Everybody from cops to sheriff's offices, fire departments, utilities companies, those who need to inspect dams, inspect power grids, agricultural workers, and then just your hobbyists, and everybody in between who may have a reason to have a camera flying up in the sky, by and large, they are using DJI drones. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, they're the easiest to get. You go get them from Best Buy, from Walmart. DJI manufactures these things in huge, huge quantities and ships them out all over the world. And there are vendors everywhere. American drones, by comparison, really hard to get. The other reason is they're good. They're really good drones. And then the third reason is they're pretty affordable compared to other drones.
Where does U.S. drone tech fall short compared to DJI?
The people I talk to who have used both Chinese drones and American drones, they will say that American drones don't have nearly as good cameras. They don't have quite as good radios, so they don't have good communication systems that allows people to fly the drones really far or behind obstacles like big trees or mountain peaks or big buildings. They don't have very good payload systems, so they aren't as capable of carrying large quantities or payloads that weigh a lot. And there are some other sort of glitchy things about American drones, speaking very generally. Now, American companies will say that their technology is on par with DJI, but they will acknowledge that their drones are much more expensive and they're much slower at building them.
Is it likely that that time and cost gap is going to be closed anytime soon?
No, and this is really the concern here when we think about a world in which DJI drones are effectively banned, which is what Congress is proposing and very likely moving forward to do, is there needs to be a significant amount of time and investment, probably private and public investment, in the U.S. drone sector to get these companies to a place where they can manufacture at scale, which of course is necessary then to bring the costs down.
Okay, so let's talk about those efforts to potentially ban DJI drones. Republicans, Democrats, military officials, federal regulators, they call DJI a national security risk. Why?
Going back several years, there's a few different threats that members of Congress, that members of the national security apparatus will say DJI presents. There's a data security risk. Many people believe DJI is capable of collecting sensitive data through these drones and sending that data back to the Chinese government or the Chinese military, then there's also the dependency argument. We are, as a nation, extremely dependent on China for drones. And if there is to be a conflict with Taiwan, a conflict of any kind that involves China, they cut off the supply chain, the U.S. would be left in a very difficult place. And then there's the war zone factor that in Ukraine, and to a lesser extent in Israel, Chinese drones have had a huge presence. So there is a concern about giving China this kind of power if the U.S. is to enter a conflict.
What has DJI said about this?
DJI has consistently pushed back against these accusations. They say their drones are safe. They give reasons such as you can fly DJI drones without connecting them to the internet. DJI says that the U.S. has never presented any real evidence about any sort of nefarious data collection. And so they reject all of these claims. And the people who fly the drones, whether it's the firefighters or the search and rescue workers, say, what's the big deal? It's stuff that I can see from Google Earth. And in the case of like a police department, well, that information is available through public records requests.
Some states have already passed bans on these drones. What impact has that had?
So there's at least 7 states that I found that have passed a law that does something to prohibit publicly funded agencies from using DJI drones. Florida last year put into effect an immediate ban on using DJI drones, which meant the police departments, the sheriff's offices that I talked to, they suddenly had nothing to fly. They were all using DJI drones and they had to get rid of them and they couldn't afford the American drones. The American drones were like 5 months wait time to get them. And many of them, including the Miami-Dade Police Department, said, well, we have a couple of new American drones now, but our capabilities fall far short of what we had with DJI.
All right, that was our reporter, Heather Somerville. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.